Good morning. I was going to say good morning to our people on Zoom, but the people that are normally joining us on Zoom are both here. Yay! So we are glad that you're here, Joyce, and we're glad that you're back again, Teresa. We're so glad to have you back. If you're joining us in a parking lot, I don't know if we have anybody. I don't think our signs are even out there. So, but we're glad that you're joining us. If you're joining us online, where you're listening to it from our website, we're glad that you are here. On this particular Sunday, I think I would be almost remiss if I did not go ahead and go to the next slide. There, it's going to show. Oh, okay, go back. Sorry. I would be remiss because it is September 11th. And September 11th for our country is a very solemn day. If you've had the news on this morning, no doubt you've seen recollections. And I remember where I was when I heard the news and initially thinking it was an accident and then seeing what was happening. But I also recall the way our country drew together during that time. And so as we start this morning, being September 11th, I'd like to take actually a full minute of silence and just remember those lives that were lost, not only on that day, but also in what followed as literally we had a 20-year war in Afghanistan. So if you join me, please, for a minute of silence. Thank you. Thank you. And to the person whose phone went off, don't worry, I don't have directional hearing, so I don't know who you were. It happens. I was teasing my sister last week because, I think it was last week, it might have been the week before. Many of you know my mom's been in the hospital, or right now she's in a rehab facility, and thank you, she's having ups and downs, but she's doing okay. We expect ups and downs right now. But my sister texts me during the service. It's only my family that ever texts me during a worship service. And you'd think my family would know where I'm going to be on a Sunday morning or on a special event. But they know where I am, but they're thinking of me in other ways and want to reach out. So I appreciate and love them. Hey, our call to worship this morning is going to come from Psalm 14. Psalm 14 reads, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They've all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There's none who does good, not even one. Have they no knowledge, all the evildoers who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon the Lord? There they are in great terror, for God is with the generation of the righteous. You would shame the plans of the poor, but the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that salvation for Israel should come out of Zion. When the Lord restores the fortunes of his people, let Jacob rejoice. Let Israel be glad." Let's continue in our worship, and I'll invite our worship team to come on up and lead us.
Help us to seek you. Be our refuge. Restore us as we are here to worship you. Let us feel your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. It's time for praise songs. Please stand if you're able. Some people have excused absences from standing. It's okay. We're going to start with an old hymn called He Leadeth Me. Beginning of Advent, but because today's the E in empty, which is expectation, we're going to sing Emmanuel.
His name is called
Our next song is printed in your bulletin, or it will be on the screen, whichever is easier for you to read. Or in your green folder.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss! The Father turns His face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring sin upon His shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held Him there until it was a Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my rent.
Before we read our scripture this morning, make sure my mic is on. Before we read our scripture this morning, I want to remind you that it is kickoff Sunday. That's why I invite you all to wear your Seahawk gear, which you're invited to wear anytime, because we don't do a wardrobe check here. But kickoff Sunday, and that we're starting a new sermon series. And so we have a book called Casket Empty. Last week, I had found it for, I think it was just over $20. I think it was $20 and something. And I said, we'll charge $20. Well, the price has come down. It's amazing. I found more. So if you are interested in a book, we will get the book and the timeline, we'll get them together for $20. So there is a sign-up sheet right back there on that round table that is closest to where Scott is sitting, and you can sign up there. Please do so this week so that we can order them. If you'd like to order it on the Kindle, I downloaded it onto my iPad. I think it was $17, so it's not bad, and that way I can mark it all up, and I don't have to carry my book around because I'm always carrying my iPad around. So the book is available. We would like to get everybody into a timeline so that you can, because the book refers to it often. The timeline is literally what's behind me. You may remember our Old Testament one down there, so I have it where we were in temple, and that blue line continuing on, pointing to Messiah. So with that as our announcement, let's go to our scripture for this morning. Our scripture this morning comes from Romans 1, verses 16 and 17. It's Paul writing to the Roman church. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." Will you join me in prayer? Holy God, we read your word, Paul's word, his letter to the Roman church, and we are reminded that there is good news, and we don't need to be ashamed. We're reminded that we are called to righteousness. And so, God, as we come before you today, I pray that you would speak through me. I pray that you would speak to all of us, that we might hear your words and follow up on them, that we might do something about them, that somehow you might be working in us to change our ways to line up with yours, that we might be the righteous people that you call us to be. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Scott, if you can put that, thank you. So today we're starting a new series. And we're starting it, I did not plan this, but we're starting it on a significant day in our country's history. We've already taken that time, a minute of silence to remember. And as I said, I doubt there are many of us here that are old enough anyway that don't remember where they were when they learned of those planes hitting the World Trade Center or the Pentagon or going down in that field in Pennsylvania. The days that followed, there was a palpable connection that we all had. We all felt something. We were connected. And I remember how eerie it seemed when the skies went empty. I was serving a church just north of here. Many of you know of Steel Lake Presbyterian Church when it was on 308, that building that is there. And we were right in the flight path for SeaTac. So sometimes when the planes came in low and heavy, you could hear it in our sanctuary on Sunday morning. I just remember how quiet it was. And I remember later that week, or maybe it was 2 weeks. I don't remember the length of time, but I remember that there were three pastors and two music staff people there, and we were all going out to lunch, just kind of to process what had been going on. And we walked outside the door, and the first plane we'd heard in however long flew over. And we all, just out of reaction, ducked at the sound of the plane, and then looked at the sky, saw the plane, and kind of nervously chuckled at our reaction. During that time, church attendance swelled throughout our country. It seems in our country, a country that many will say was founded on Judeo-Christian principles, it seems that it is in moments of tragedy that people tend to turn to look for something beyond themselves. I think we saw that throughout the Old Testament too, when God says, "I am your God," and they said, "We'll do whatever you want." And then it's like three lines later, they're doing absolutely what God doesn't want, right? And we see that happening throughout the Old Testament. But we want to look for something beyond ourselves. It's in those times of tragedy that when we're looking for those, that we want to hold on to something that seems so tangible in the moment, yet it seems so distant at the same time. What is it about tragedy that causes us to do so? What is it about death that draws us to ideas of, excuse me, of faith and of seeking God, of reminding others of God's presence? Perhaps it's because it's then that we recognize our own mortality. And it's when we recognize our own mortality, we think there's got to be something more than what we experience here in this lifetime. Perhaps it's only then that we most clearly see the image that is imprinted on us by our Creator, an image that was meant to go forever, to be eternal. In the fall of 2019, I know that seems a long time ago, in the fall of 2019, we began a series called Casket Empty. And we began a journey through the entirety of the Bible, casket being the first part and empty being the last part of our journey. The picture you may remember on the Old Testament study guide was a cross. Interesting. On the Old Testament, there was a cross. Well, it was because the Old Testament, we had casket, right? And everything points to the cross. And casket, we'll talk about that acronym in just a moment, but casket definitely reminds us of death. And guess what? We finally made it to the New Testament. Please, please, try and contain your wild up in that corner so it goes around so that we can see them both in the same room. I think it'll be helpful. I do encourage you after the service to come up and you can look at some of these dates that are on here because it's going to help you plug in what's going on with history that you may know. We don't think of the Bible necessarily being a historical book, but it is. So we're going to take a moment and we're going to go through the Old Testament because it's the Old Testament that launches us into the New Testament. So as I've already said, we had the acronym CASKET, okay? And the C was for creation. It's clear what that is. We see it in the first few chapters of Genesis in our Bibles. And then we get to A, Abraham. God called Abraham. He was in this polytheistic culture where they worshiped a lot of gods. And God calls Abraham and he sets apart for himself a specific people that and that he promises that he is going to bless the entirety of the world of everything that will come after through Abraham. And yet we know Abraham at that point did not have any children. Then we got to the S, and the S is Sinai. Mount Sinai is where God spoke to Moses, and we have the law presented and the Ten Commandments and God leading his people to the promised land. And then we get to Kings, and we have good kings and we have bad kings, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we continue to see God's people struggling with their own propensity towards abandoning God's commands. One of the things I want to remind you of is that God's commands, the Ten Commandments, all these commands that we have, people say, well, there's no way that we can live up to them. Well, yeah, that's the point. Because what God's commandments do is they continue to point out to us that we're not righteous. Not one of us is righteous. We might think we are, but we're not righteous. Because we're tainted by sin, but God continues to love us. And we see that propensity. In Kings, we also saw the split of the 12 tribes into two separate kingdoms. And then we get to E, there's a period of exile, a consequence of their rebellion. And then the T, temple. They return to the promised land and the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. And so today we get to our second acronym, our acronym for the New Testament, which is EMPTY, which you'll see spelled out. I don't know how well you can see it because I know there's some glare on the vinyl, but it's E-M-P-T-Y, and I misspoke, I believe, last Sunday because I said the P was Paul. It's Pentecost. So let's go through these. Expectation. Clearly, there's a period of expectation. In the Old Testament, they were looking forward, but what were they expecting? What were they expecting their Messiah to be? We know many were not expecting anything like who Jesus turned out to be. We'll talk about that as we go. And the Messiah, M, we will look at what it means to be the Messiah and, of course, into Jesus as the Messiah. We'll look at that. And then Pentecost, P. The Pentecost is the birth of the church. That's where the church is born. The Spirit is poured out and boom, suddenly the church takes off. And then not only right there in Jerusalem, but it spreads to, well, we're in the United States. We're very far from Jerusalem, and yet we know of Christ and we know the message of Christ and we have the Spirit within us. And then we go to T, the teaching. There is a tremendous amount of teaching in the New Testament. Paul and others teach us through their letters to various churches and also through some of their writings. And then we have yet to come. What is the future? What is it that the future holds for us? Everybody wants to open up their Bible and turn to Revelation, you know, where it says, and in that day, the United States will become the greatest nation ever, and everybody else will be subject to them, or something like that. And that's not what the Bible's going to tell us, okay? Or to say something great, you know, yes, you are to choose this for your career because that's what's supposed to happen in your life. And the Bible doesn't tell us that, right? I like that a few years ago, I took a group of men here, and then I've gone several times with Lance, I think three times now, to Cape and Ray Harbor up in Canada. It's a men's conference. And one of the things that the torchbearers talk about is that we all have a vocation. Our vocation is to share Christ. We also have an occupation. And vocation and occupation are not necessarily the same thing. There are those who have a vocation and are called. Vocation means to be called. Vocation into ministry and being a pastor and things like that. And there are others that are just as specifically called to be writers or to be nurses or to be homemakers or to be whatever it is that you can imagine that people go into, bankers, janitors. It can be anything, but your vocation is still to shine the light of Christ wherever you are. Your occupation can be totally different. So that's a freebie that I'm throwing out there. So we start off with the E, expectation, and I titled this morning's message, What Are We Waiting For? What are we waiting for? Our passage this morning that I chose is to remind us of what it is that we believe. And in Romans 1, 16 and 17, Paul starts out with these words. He says, I am not ashamed, for I am not ashamed. That's how he starts it out. And as you read through that passage, as you read through the opening of the letter, there's a part of it that almost reminds me that Paul might be trying to kind of convince himself. You know, kind of like, I don't know if you've ever had to make a presentation. I will tell you, I get nervous every Sunday. But if you've ever had to make a presentation, you're not used to doing that. The nerves kind of well up within you, and you might go, okay, let's do this, you know, kind of thing. And it's kind of like that, what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, for I am not ashamed. No, I'm going to stand for this thing. I'm going to stand for righteousness. It seems that despite our tendency to seek out an eternal hope, when we're faced with tragedies such as 9/11 or death in our lives, the rest of the time, though, this idea of an eternal hope just kind of becomes a second-tier thing. Our faith becomes something that, well, yeah, I'm a believer. It's just there. It's not something that drives us. It's not something, it's not something set away in a closet in our guest room, but it's almost like it's something that's out of sight and out of mind in our storage locker someplace. Until tragedy strikes, and then suddenly it's right there in the front, and we're more than willing to step up and say, I have faith. Paul speaks out and he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Now, what's the gospel? What's the word gospel mean? Well, gospel is an announcement of good news. In particular, the gospel is the announcement that Jesus' life, death, and resurrection have brought about salvation for Israel and the world. But where does this concept of gospel come from? It actually comes from the Old Testament. You'd have these battles going on, right? And they'd be going on a long distance. In fact, the people back in town wouldn't know what was happening in the battle, right? And it wasn't like they'd get a text. You know, nowadays we have to inform everybody what we're doing. They didn't have Facebook to go to and see what everybody was doing, or at least what everybody's lying about. But they had to go find what they had to have a messenger of some sort. And so somebody somewhere would come running and say either bad news, we've lost, or good news. And the good news message would be a message of victory. And that comes from the Old Testament. The concept of gospel comes from the Old Testament, announcing good news such as a victory in a battle. And Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Why isn't he ashamed of the gospel? This is why. For it is the power of God for the salvation to everyone who believes. The gospel is the power of God for the salvation to everyone who believes. The gospel is the power of God. It is God who has attained the victory in the battle of our salvation. Something that we could not do on our own because we're mired in sin. We know that. That's something our culture doesn't like to believe. We're more than willing in our culture to point out other people's sins. You know, if they're in that other political party, notice I didn't say which perspective that was, because they both say that. Oh, that other political party. Oh, those guys, there they go again. Those far whatever, right? And we do it. We demonize the other people. George Bush was the first, the younger, was the first one I heard say this, but he's right, and he was quoting someone, and I'm sorry, I've forgotten who he's quoting. But he says, we judge people by their actions, but we judge ourselves by our intentions. Right? Well, I didn't mean to. Right? I didn't mean to whack that guy with the 2x4. I was just kind of holding it, and I turned around, and boom, he went down. You know, I didn't mean to. But other people go, look at that fool. He just whacked that guy with the 2x4. Actions versus intentions. The gospel is the power of God. We can't do it on our own. As we got to the end of the New Testament, the temple has been built. So we have Malachi. And although the temple has been built, this had not produced the Messianic age. This hadn't brought about the Messiah as they were hoping. There was this expectation here that the Messiah is coming. This is 430 BC to 6 BC, if you're looking for a time frame. Okay? People talk about that time period, and Malachi called the people to repentance with respect to the priesthood, which had become corrupt, worship, which had become routine, sound familiar, divorce, which had become widespread, social justice, which was being ignored, and tithing, which was being neglected. And during this period, 430 BC to 6 BC, there's an expectation for a Messiah, and it's building. It's building. Israel had become part of the Greek world because there were the Persian Wars. Okay, the Persian Wars come along, and Alexander, oh, we know that name from history, don't we? Alexander defeats Persia and establishes Greek rule, starts this Greek empire. And so all this stuff is starting to happen, that Greek world, and then Israel is going to suffer in that Greek world. They're going to suffer in wars of Alexander's successors. And you can find more about that in Daniel 11, believe it or not, in the Old Testament. And in December of 164 BC, the temple is dedicated and Israel is humbled. And there's return of Roman rule in 63 BC. So our timeline here shows of what is being expected, okay, of a Messiah. Zechariah 14:9 reads, "And the Lord will be king over all the earth. On that day the Lord will be one and his name one." They expected the kingdom of God to be ushered in. When the Messiah comes, the kingdom of God, everything's going to be hunky-dory. That comes from the Latin hunkus dorum. Not really, I'm making that up. But they just think everything's going to be okay. This is what they're expecting. Just like we think too often people in various political parties think if my person is elected to whatever office, everything's just going to be awesome. And then we go, it didn't work out the way I wanted to. Because we're all sinners. They want this Messiah who's going to be a royal son of man, the son of David. So he's going to come from David's lineage somehow. And they expected this Messiah to assume the throne and become their king. To become a king just like David was a king in the Old Testament. They expected, as we find out in Isaiah 53, that this Messiah would atone for their sin somehow. Talks about that in Daniel 9:24 as well. And that there would be a new covenant, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, the blessing of Abraham. Remember Abraham way back. That was the A, the second letter in our journey through the Old Testament. Abraham was said to be a blessing to the entire world. They expected this blessing to arrive. They expected resurrection, the receiving back of their dead, and they expect the final judgment, and finally, a new creation. All of this is predicted in Old Testament. We're not to the New Testament yet. You may have heard the Old Testament and the New Testament, and there were 400 years of silence. It really wasn't that quiet, okay? God keeps working. In fact, I've often heard of this as a period of silence, but as you can see on our timeline, there's a whole lot happening. Alexander comes along, takes over, Greek rule, then the successors, all this stuff is happening. We've got Alexander's successors, you've got the Ptolemaic rule over Israel, and then Ptolemy II, he sponsors a translation of the Bible into Greek. Well, the Bible is the Old Testament, right? We call it the Vulgate, okay? Seleucid, I guess I'm saying that right, rules over Israel from 198 to 142, and Antiochus III grants Israel to live by their ancestral laws. All this is happening in this period. And it's not this time of silence. There's this period yet still of expectation. Where is this Messiah that we're waiting for? It's clear that God continued to work. The world was not left alone. It's a time of preparation. Today we sang Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. Something we might normally sing at Christmas time, right? At Advent season. A season where the church reflects not only on this time when they were expecting Jesus to come, expecting the Messiah, but we also reflect on our expectation of the coming of the Messiah again, that Jesus will return to the earth. There's a difference for us today. As we look at this entire thing, we need to remember that we're looking at it in the rearview mirror, so to speak. It's already happened. This part of the expectation has already happened. The Messiah has already come. And he's going to return as promised. We know, you and I, who Jesus is. We know that he was a historical figure. We know that he lived. We know that the tomb was empty. They didn't know that all that was going to happen yet. We know the power that Jesus has. We know Jesus promises, and we know the call to live by faith. Yet you and I, we also live in a period of expectation. Put our verses up for today again. So if the gospel is good news, if it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, if it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith for faith, are we a people living by faith? Are you and I living by faith? According to Paul, we as believers are made righteous through our faith in God. Are we a people living by faith, or are we cowering? I think about how we live right now in a culture, in a world culture, very cosmopolitan, as they say, where if you're sitting in any auditorium at any football game, any soccer game, baseball game, if you go to a Seahawks game, chances are you're sitting in a group of people that come from all different kinds of religions. And what do we do about our faith? Is that what we're called to do? I ask that as a serious question, because it seems to me that we live in a culture where more and more we're not being so much shut down for our faith as we're choosing not to share of our faith. And I would hope that we can be people that share our expectation, share our hope. And as we go through this, as we learn more about who Jesus is and what it meant that he is Messiah, and we learn about the birth of the church and the power that is in us and the teachings, and then what God reveals about the future, I hope that we can get excited again about our faith. I hope that we can be standing up, inviting our neighbors to come and be a part of this thing that we call faith, a part of this thing that we call church, to not be ashamed. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew, they were God's chosen people, and also to the Greek. For in it, righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Let's live by that faith. Let me pray for you. Holy God, thank you for these words to us. Thank you for this kickoff and the time that we've had to think about what it is to expect Jesus again. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to reveal yourself to us. Open our hearts and minds as we seek out those conversations, those divine appointments where we can tell others about you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
One way we can share our faith and our hope is with our gifts of our time, talents, and monetary. The offering plate is in the back, in the middle. You may use it anytime you wish. For the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below.
seated.
We come to the point in our service where we have an opportunity to share joys and concerns, and I would invite you to do so. Reminder that our service is recorded, so if you need to give a more generic statement because it could be picked up by somebody off our website and they listen to the whole service, so they're hearing this as well, that's okay. But I want you to be aware of that rather than airing family business if that makes sense. So now that I said that, nobody's going to share anything, I know. Anything we can want to share, joys or concerns? Rita. Oh, nope. Okay, go ahead, Carolyn.
Yesterday, we celebrated our 67th wedding anniversary.
67 years. Wow. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. That's amazing.
It's a lot of hard work.
So this has been posted on Facebook. Allie is in Zurich. She is presenting to a group of 20 or 30 people who understand what she's talking about radiocarbon dating of glaciers, I think. And then after Zurich, then she goes to Stockholm, and then she'll be headed back home. So.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I said.
I'll even say it backwards. Wow.
Wow.
Does it tell the kids, you know what wow is upside down? Mom, yeah, so if you see your mom standing on your head, you know what you say? Wow, yeah, that's right. I know it's bad. Swim instructor humor.
Natalie and Steve are on their way to the Dakotas, and let's pray for them to come home safe.
I didn't hear the last part.
We must pray for them to come home safe.
Yes, safe travels.
Safe travels, yes.
Yes. Yeah, the Dakotas, it's a long way. You know, those big presidents, they can...
Everybody's a comedian.
You've all probably heard about the fire up on Highway 2. I have some friends who live in Startup, currently not in the fire zone, but they are dealing with smoke and ash, I'm sure. But prayers for their safety.
Prayers for safety for those that are experiencing fires, yes. Absolutely.
My sister-in-law back in Michigan has recently been diagnosed with eye cancer, so keep her in prayers.
Definitely. What was her name again?
Lois Horden.
Did you get that, Carrie?
Okay. Just prayers for the family as they say goodbye to my nephew today.
Okay. Back to Australia?
No, he died.
Oh. So did you catch that, John?
I didn't.
Just the Poppy's family saying goodbye to their nephew.
Passed away.
Okay. Anyone else?
And you can also include Carrie's brother, his where he lives, just above his house, which is about 5-8 miles away. There was fires up there. They've been without power because they shut the power off, so that way they, in case of lines going down, they wouldn't start any more fires. Fires are out, but there's still lots of smoke around his house.
I've experienced that.
Yeah.
The power outage because of fires. Yeah.
So he lives in Gaston, Oregon, which is like an hour outside of Portland.
All right. So. Any others? Steve.
Oh, unless you want to do it.
Cammie.
I was just praising God this morning for my class reunion. And just being able to see people I haven't seen for years and how many people talked about their faith in God.
Oh, praise God.
those reunions where you discover that there's a lot of your classmates that have discovered a faith in God. Yes, definitely something to praise God about. Any others? Let me wrap this up and we'll pray together. Let's pray. Lord God, we are a people of praise. And we are so thankful for the way that you protect us, the way that you lead us. We're thankful for adventures that we get to take and vacations, and thankful for the curiosity that you give us that enables us to go and study and then present papers that very few people in the world understand, and just the adventures that that brings us. We also are mindful of the way that you bring us together as family, and we are so thankful for that and having family come visit. But then we also experience the loss when they leave. Not only when they leave and maybe go back to their home, but when family members are called home to be with you. And they pass from this life onto the next. And that is a loss that we all have experienced. God, we pray with those that are grieving that you would be with them and comfort them. God, we pray for your hand of protection for those that are near wildfires and for those that are traveling and potentially traveling through wildfires, Lord. And we just ask that you would just protect property, protect people, Lord. Protect those that are willing to go and fight those fires for us. God, we pray that you would protect those that are without power. We pray for those that are experiencing disease, Lord. We think of cancer that has impacted so many, and we think of this, I forgot her name again. Carrie?
Lois.
We pray for, thank you, for Lois, Lord. We just pray for your hand of healing to be upon her. You are the great physician, and you know us from the inside out. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. God, we trust her to you. We pray for healing. We pray for strength for her family as they seek to support her and for herself as she goes through whatever treatment. God, we pray for those that are hurting. I think of my mom, Lord, that's been in the hospital and now in rehab and not always enjoying all the rehab. But God, we pray that you would give her strength. We thank you that Teresa is back with us, that Joyce is with us this morning. We give you praise for them and that they're able to be with us. We pray for Don and Mary as they continue to recover from COVID. God, there's a whole list of people that we have in our bulletins this morning. You know every one of them. You knew them before they were a twinkle in their parents' eyes, before the creation of the world. You knew them fully. We ask that you be with them. God, we pray for our leaders. We pray for our president. We ask that you would be with him, that you give him wisdom and discernment beyond his own understanding, Lord. And we pray that also for our senators and our representatives. God, we pray for vigorous debate to take place and decisions that reflect your glory to be made. God, we pray that we might be a nation that is truly under God and that we would be a nation that seeks to follow you. As for our part, Lord, we pray that we might be people that are seeking to live out our faith, to live out our lives righteously, to do the right thing. And God, we seek to follow Jesus and his example because that is the closest example we have. And God, we are so thankful that he came and he taught us to pray. So we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning. Just going to take a little bit of a moment for myself here. I was reading a note from the chief of our department, and one of the things he mentioned when he was remembering 9/11 stuff is there's a group of guys out there that are going to be hired as firefighters, police officers, port authority people going into the military that were not alive when 9/11 happened. So this is going to be a new group of people that are coming in to serve. And what he was saying is some of the things that he was hearing is that that was one of the reasons why they chose the profession in those different areas. So be praying for those people that are making those choices to step into harm's way in many different ways to serve us and protect us. So that was my moment for 9/11. I just thought it was interesting that the chief made a reference to that because that is true. So session meeting today at 11:30. So those of you who are on session, you know who you are, right? Raise your hand if you're session. Yep. Oh, okay, there they are. And then next one, deacons, September 18th at 11:30. No? Oh, the 25th. Okay. Rewind. September 25th, deacons, at 11:30? Sure. Okay, there's some hesitation there, but okay, September 25th at 11:30, deacons, you will have a meeting. Deacons, do you know who you are? Raise your hand. Okay, great. All right, getting everybody involved here in this part of this. Pearls, okay. Hope it's this right date, the 19th from 5 to 6:30. Yes? Good. Pearls, do you know who you are? Raise your hand. It's an interactive moment. I'm not going to have you stand up, sit down. I'm just going to have you just raise your hand type thing. Okay, Bible study, resuming, checking the date, September 21st. Okay, if you want to be a part of Bible study, reach out to Carrie or myself. We'd be happy to direct you to that. We do those on Zoom still. So that way it makes it a little bit easier to be able to, for people to come in because of that time. You know, people are running in from work. They got food to eat. They got a household to kind of put together. So we found that it's at this point a little bit easier to do that. So if you get home from work and you're running a little late and you're sitting down to eat your meal and it's about 5 minutes to six, your meals are welcome to eat with us. That's not a problem. We do share snacks and stuff like that online with ourselves. So that's where that's at. Next, sending him. Worship team, would you please come up and lead us and send us off?
I'm going to be serious. We're going to sing Come Thou Long Expected Jesus because that expectation that we are experiencing, that we want Jesus to come for us. Please stand if you're able.
Our fears and sins. I got a little crazy there.
So I'm going to use the verse that we had this morning as our benediction. So as you go, be not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. It is the power that is in you. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. So go living in faith, shining your light bright, that others may see your good works and give glory to God who is in heaven. And all God's people said, amen. Go in peace. Hi, Soon. How are you? Good to see you. What's that? Oh, thank you. Thank you.
All of us are here on a journey, sojourners, just pilgrims and passing, trying to find our way on the narrow road.
Oh, forgot. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16.